express heartfelt gratitude for all those who have contributed to facilitating Shishirada Gopinatha Das Vasakis coming to join us all tonight. If anyone is not aware, Vasakis are meant to accompany the six Goswamis in demonstrating how the Gaudiya Vaishnava theology of Siddhanta expands. Sri Krishna is known as Rasaraj. He's the emperor of Malas, who relishes the flavor of loving relationships with his hearts and houses. Srimati Radharani is Mahabhava. The Astasakis are the individual bhavas which culminate in Mahabhava. And if you follow in Kunti's motif of all the aspects of Krishna being lotus-like, and she's offering her respects and prayers to Sri Krishna, she addresses him as the Lord who's made his disciple lotus. And she looked up our comments that normally we first gaze upon Krishna's lotus feet, which are like lotuses, and then gradually raise our vision up to his waist, his belly, his chest, and lotus face. Srila Prabhupada said Queen Kunti didn't want to make Krishna feel awkward because she said, and he would feel awkward if she offered her prayers leading him to his lotus. So she begins with his name, which is like a lotus. And she says, your eyes are like a lotus, and your glasses are like a lotus, and your garland is made of lotuses. And the universe, which sprouted from the lotus-like navel of the Lord, naturally blossomed into a lotus, which is the lotus. So if you follow that motif back to the Dham, which is also like a lotus, God and Krishna being the world that lotus, the world also known as the Yoga Feet. Whereas in Navadvipa, the Yoga Feet is also the central stem of the lotus, of which the nine islands of Navadvipa represent the nine processes of devotional service. But in Braj, Radha and Krishna reside in the world of that lotus. And Mahabhava Swarupini Radha, these eight sakis personified by individual bhavas, are like the petals of the lotus. They also each have their eight intimate associates, manjaris, who are like the stem, which is the part of a flower which connects the petal with the stem. The Gaudiya Vaishnava theology expands in this lotus-like fashion from the absolute truth of Sri Krishna, who expands as Mahabhava Swarupa, who expands into their Astasakis, who expand into their Astamanjaris. The stamen not only connects the petal with the world, but it also holds the pollen, which it also releases as appropriate to fulfill the Lord's desire. those Astamantris become the Goswamis of Chaitanya Deva. Because the esoteric truths regarding Sri Krishna's dham and service and tattva are beyond the range of intellect or any theology of this world. And the ecstasies that Sri Chaitanya manifests when he came to this world to experience for himself, what is that flavor of love my devotees taste in serving me? He manifests ecstasies and pastimes which are not revealed in any scripture, nor have ever been revealed by any avatar. So to scientifically, authoritatively reveal who this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, only his most intimate associates, endowed with such a depth of love and corresponding realization, could, first of all, by citing the evidences from all the standard authoritative Vedic texts, confirm that though the Lord is known as Triyug, who appears in three yugas, he also has another chana form, confidential, concealed, who appears in a Kali Yuga. And then explaining the intricacies and ecstasies of his experience. Furthermore, delineating the sadhana by which conditioned souls of this world can purify their hearts, and as they perfect their lives, enter into the holy entourage of the Lord. Tonight we are observing the closing of Kartik. Sri Krishna says, of months of the year, I am Damodar, which is also known as Kartik because of its queen, Shamati Nagarani, who specifically presides over this month, which is meant for her pleasure. And awakening that yearning in the heart to serve and please her with the understanding that there's no equal or better way to satisfy Krishna. This month, we have been following a consistent theme in the chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Wonderful Krishna, in which the Brijavasis, after witnessing this Govardhan Lila, asked Nanda Maharaj, how is it that a 7-year-old child can hold up this great mountain with the little finger of his left hand for 7 days, tirelessly? And then reflecting back on his wonderful pastimes, beginning with his birth, and wondering, how could such an exalted personality who performs leelas greater than that of Lord Narayan have taken birth amongst us cowherds? A birth that would be seen as contemptible, considering that he must be a great demigod, who is specifically empowered by the Lord. And at times they suspected that he might even be the Lord himself. But he would very quickly cover over such knowledge Because it crippled their bhava, their sentiments of love, intimate affection. So, this sweetest of all months, which ends in Rasa Lila, which transpires tonight, because this is also the month that Uddhava, true to his promise to the gopis, succeeded in bringing Krishna back to Braj for 1 month continuously. He enjoyed Rasa Lila every night. And there was a similar pattern to the events of every Rasa Lila, in that Krishna would enchant the gopis by the song of his flute. They would assemble and dance. He would steal away Srimati Radharani, and then he would leave her alone in the forest. And in the feelings of separation which ensued, the gopis would all gather together on the shore of Jamuna and congregationally sing his holy names, which would draw him out from his hiding place, and he would rejoin them. But tonight, under the clear Kartik sky, during that month when the moon is more exquisitely beautiful than any other time of the year, when Krishna disappeared and the gopis searched, he was nowhere to be found. When they came together on the shore of Jamuna to sing his holy names, congregation, he did not reappear. And when the sun mercilessly rose the next morning, and the gopis continued searching the forest, Nanda Maharaj searched this town, Yashoda searched the village, the palace, the gopis searched the pasturing grounds, but he was nowhere to be found. They began to wonder. Previously, if anybody had said anything about somebody named Akrura, they would immediately stop and say, "Don't mention that. That was just a bad name. Krishna's here in Vrindavan, and he'll never leave." But it appeared that he had left again. And they began to wonder, was it a dream that he ever left Vrindavan? Was it a dream that he was with us every day of this month of Kartik? Is it a dream that he would appear in their dreams, which appeared more real than their waking experience during the day? What was dream? What was illusion? What was reality? Did not matter, because the Brijavasis lived in a world of hope, which can only be found in connection with Krishna. Meanwhile, when Krishna went on to Dwarka, he would always arrange for Balaram or Uddhava or someone to go to Braj as if to deliver his message, to deliver news of Krishna, to that which the Brijavasis couldn't live. But Krishna had another motive in sending messengers. He longed to hear about the Brijavasis, without which he could not live. So, and at one point, after Sri Dhamma's curse reached its completion, and the gopis embarked on pilgrimage to Sadashram, while simultaneously Krishna told the Jadus, we should go on pilgrimage to Sadashram, where they were reunited. And following that reunion at Sadashram, the Vrijavasis accompanied Krishna back to Dwarka. And for 12 years, they lived happily and peacefully, because there was no obstacles to overcome in meeting with Krishna. There was no chutila and kutila, seeing if their daughter-in-law was being, because Abhimanyu was living happily with Srimati Radharani's shadow and grudge. And in Dwarka, Sri Vishwakarma constructed additional palaces to house all the Vrijavasis. Krishna was back with his loved ones. Was he happy? No. Bound by the ropes of duty to protect the Jadus, he yearned to be bound by Mother Yashoda's cowherd rope, by the bonds of affection. More than protecting the Jadus, he longed to live carefree as a protector of the cows. And living in the midst of conflicting nature creates and increases tension. And as that tension in Krishna's heart became more and more dominant, to the extent that all night long he would just be calling out to the cows and to the gopis, and the Dwarkavasis realized that he's not with us at all. His body is with us, his heart is still in Vrindavan. And he is likely to just escape and return there at any time. And then we'll never get him back. So, choosing to preempt Krishna's inevitable plan, they sent Balarama Subhadra ahead to make sure the Vrijavasis were in a festive mood, because if Krishna saw them in their anguish of separation, he would surely perish. But when Balarama and Subhadra saw the condition of the Vrijavasis, their ecstasy of separation was so overwhelming and transformative that Balarama and Subhadra, through such transformations, their feet and legs withdrew into their bodies, their hands withdrew into their arms, and their eyes opened wide. And true to the Dwarkavasi's concern, when Krishna came out of his trance and told Dwarka, you must go to Vrindavan right now, and they rode off. But when they reached Vrindavan, Sri Krishna underwent the same transformation as Balarama and Subhadra. And therefore, Sri Jagannath Swami Baladev Subhadra Kijaya, first manifest in Vrindavan. And Uddhava was watching all this to add to his list of experiences and accompanying Krishna to Braj. And he noticed that it was only the glance and the grace of Srimati Radharani which could return Krishna to his Shyamasundar form. And he noted, no one can enter Vrindavan without the grace of Srimati Radharani, not even Krishna. So Balarama Subhadra arranged to bring Krishna back to Dwarka. But there was no moral codes to transgress. the sweetness and excitement and spontaneity which nourished Krishna's relationships was diminished. And as the conflict continued to smolder within his heart due to the tension between the call of duty and the yearning of his heart, he could only see one means to resolve the situation. And at that time, in Dwarka, Uddhava began to notice numerous anomalies. And he was wondering, are these anomalies due to some change in the Lord's mood, because he definitely was manifesting a different mood, or is this change in mood due to the anomalies? By this time, Uddhava was sufficiently wise to understand that Krishna is winding down his earthly vida and will soon be departing this world. So he approached Krishna and told him, I understand your plan. I have only one request of you, Mother. Do not leave me behind, take me with you. And Krishna said, as he did to Sri Shuka, who became Shukadeva Goswami, and a few others, no, you must stay. So Krishna told the Jaras that these anomalies need to be counteracted by giving charity in a holy place. We should go to Pravash and distribute charity. And they all accepted that, except Uddhava, who understood that in Krishna's presence in Dwarka, what is a pilgrimage and charity at a holy place going to accomplish? Also, the Pandavas, they built a palace in Kamyavan during their years of exile, and they came to Braj. Maharaj Yudhisthira came to understand that there is no kingdom in this world, no wealth and creation comparable to the Vrijavasi's love. So he built a palace in Kamyavan and spent some time as the protector of the Vrijavasis. And Arjuna just gave life back to the Vrijavasis, who were so enlivened to hear his talks about his best friend, Prathasakti. And Draupadi spent her time learning from the Vrijavasi Matis how to cook Krishna's favorite. So when Krishna told the Jaras that he'd go to Prabhakshatra to give him charity, to counteract the anomalies which were proliferating in Dwarka, Uddhava knew. So Krishna was thinking, by this time, he had removed all the burdens which troubled the earth. All the demoniac regimes were vanquished by this time. There was only one burden remaining. That was his own dynasty, who was so confident of Krishna's protection, they could go anywhere and everywhere and no one could check. And Krishna was thinking, after I leave, they may become proud and they'll be unmanageable. So, inciting them to drink that rice wine and become intoxicated and assault one another with the reeds which had grown from the for that. A number comparable to the Kauravas who were killed at Kurukshetra. How could Krishna's own family members meet a fate comparable to his enemies? The Acharyas give us a clue into seeing through the veil which conceals the mystery behind the scenes of Krishna's Leela. It was stage effects of a dramatic display of Krishna's opulences, which made the blood flow like rivers. And when the surviving Jagras, he was actually Daruga, when he approached Krishna, and then he saw Jara mistaking Krishna's lotus foot to be the face of a deer and released it down. And then he saw that was some bird struck in his foot. And he fell at his feet praying. Krishna said, this is the result of your leela, this big Muni. And now you're free from its results. And the chariot came down from the sky and took him back to home. And then Daruka saw, well, first he heard celestial sounds within the sky, and he looked up and saw chariots coming down. And they took Krishna's horses and chariot away. Well, that was Daruka's service, to care for the horses and drive the chariots. But it just went back to the celestial world. And then Krishna's weapons all approached him in personified forms. And they also dispatched to the spiritual sky. And then Daruga knew that Krishna's leela is now beyond the point of no return. And events are moving and fast forward to the inevitable conclusion. And then when tears obstructed his vision of Krishna, who told him to go back to Dwarka and tell the survivors what happened to their relatives. And how Daruka could have been torn away from the Lord like a calf being led away from its mother. How he crossed over from the mainland to the island and informed Vasudeva and Devaki and Rohini that their loved ones had all departed. And they all ran to the site, and climbing and stumbling through the carnage, finding their relatives and embracing their funeral pyres. All the while, Arjuna, Krishna's intimate cousin, friend, who would lie in the same bed with Krishna and joke with Krishna. He was wandering around like an abandoned orphan, continuously attempting to commit suicide. And then all this Daruka who reminded him that the Lord has a mission for you. You, Arjuna, are delegated with the task of escorting Krishna's queens to Indraprastha. And Daruka by this time learned how, and also to impress upon others to take shelter in the Lord's instructions. So Arjuna led the surviving Jagras to the mainland, where they assembled for the last caravan to Indraprastha. And as they were preparing to depart, I mean, for days already, ominous clouds have cast eerie shadows across the effulgent expanse of Dwarka. And now those dark clouds expanded all across the western horizon. And lightning spewed and thunder roared. And the inauspicious omens proliferated. And the earth began to tremor as if she was attempting to shake off one last burden. And as the surviving Jatavas turned back to look one last time at their city, that ocean stronghold with its fortified walls and golden domes slipped beneath the sea to be covered with the boiling sea waters. And as the cries and wailing of the Jatavas rose to meet with the throes of thunder, and their tears merged with the rainfall, blinding them to see, Arjuna gave them hope and courage and led them on the road to Indraprastha. He wanted to get away from that seashore, which reminded him of the disappearance of Dwarka, thinking that he could escape the anguish of the events he had witnessed in the past few days. But he didn't make it far before a group of cowherd men arrested the caravan and grabbed Krishna's queens and led them off into the forest. And as the queens cried out to Arjuna for protection, he reached to string his mighty Gandiva bow, but he didn't have the strength to do so. He called for his other weapons, but they didn't answer and come. He was going to invoke the celestial missiles, but he forgot the mantras. And as the queen screamed to Arjuna to save them from these infidel cowherd men, Arjuna was paralyzed by his sudden impotence and bewildered as to who these cowherds might have been, where did they come from, and how did they know that Arjuna, whose prowess was unrivaled on earth and in heaven, had suddenly succumbed to impotence? The answer he would learn later on. By the time he had reached Indraprastha, the news had already been broadcast throughout the world. Arjuna has at last been defeated by a small group of cowherd men. And at this point, Krishna is beginning to instruct the world through his best student, Arjuna, in the nature of material life, which gradually strips us of every last trace of dignity. And only those who are fortunate will take shelter in the Lord's instructions and realize the full dignity of the soul. At this point, when the anguish is so unbearable, because he pains deeply those who he will use in a meaningful way, when the anguish became just so intolerable, Arjuna began reflecting on what he had heard from Krishna, which awarded him success in the battle of Kurukshetra. And following his instructions, Arjuna was uplifted. Reflecting on those instructions, what did Krishna say? I'm not foolish. I'm not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them, I am covered by the curtain of yoga maya. Arjuna resolved within his heart, I will cross the threshold where that curtain is drawn and enter into the Aprakat Lila, which is forever playing behind the scenes of events in this world we call ordinary. And he told his brothers, it is time now to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers. And they headed north. And as they ascended higher and higher into the Himalayas, where the air grew sparse and the vegetation scanty, and they had clearly passed the point of no return. And Arjuna is contemplating, just clinging to those words he had heard from his friend at Kurukshetra. Saravadharma Pitkajamana Kamashayama. And especially hearing one verse resonating within his heart like a blessed assurance embellished with flute song. Manmana Baba Malbhakta Ajadinam Namaskara Namivasyasi Satyante. And especially the last line, Pratijane Priyosine. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. And if you do so, you will come to me. I promise you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Absorbing himself in that instruction, Arjuna felt his difficult trek become very light. And gradually, the sharp stones forming a path below his feet transmuted into smooth marble inlaid with precious jewels. And those jagged, inhospitable peaks of the Himalayas gradually transformed into the beautiful, ornate domes of Dwarka. And for an instant, in one of the gates leading into that celestial city, just before his eyes flooded with tears and his heart flooded with ecstasy, he saw his friend smiling at him again, as if to give assurance, I did promise you this. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. And you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. Because Priyosana, you're my very dear friend. So, as was the realization of Daruga, there are two aspects of Krishna's pastimes, prakat and unprakat, manifest and unmanifest. The unmanifest is forever playing behind the curtain of Yoga Maya. The prakat lila occasionally manifests from time to time and disappears again. But the perception of occasional lila of the Lord is due to the neophyte nature of the imperfect sadhaka, or the immature, not fully perfected sadhaka, because sadhaka is perfected at the stage of siddha. For the siddha, there is no ending of the occasional lila, because they are residents of the voice nitya lila. Who was it that stole away the queens? And who were they? And it was Arjuna's friend who would assume that, who would expand it into a band of characters. Because the Jadus, like the Brijavasis, are a combination of the Nityasiddhas and the demigods and demigoddesses who enter into them to become Brijavasis and Jadus to participate in the occasional lila. When the occasional lila ends, they return to their respective abodes. So it was Krishna who took his own queens and escorted them into the eternal Akakantalila, unknown to Arjuna at the time, later to be realized after they retired from their government duties. But there was also Brijavasis living in Dwarka, who didn't care to go into Indraprastha. They desired to go back to Siddhashram, which they did. And there, the gopis consigned their sacred spiritual forms to the waters of that lake, which dissolved and imbued the clay forming the shore of that lake with a complexion which is a blend of golden aura indicating the love of their hearts and dark from the mascara carrying their tears, which merge with the waters of the lake at Siddhashram. That clay has since become glorified as Gopichandan, which devotees use to anoint certain parts of their bodies while they're chanting the holy names of the Lord. And in so doing, they imbibe the spirit of the gopis and experience the highest ecstasy, Viprolandasaya. So just as Srila Prabhupada's so-called final lila, which transpired during this month of Kartik, and Krishna's disappearance from Braj tonight in the midst of Rasa Lila, was not the final pastime at all, but is a lesson to the sadhakas how to perfect our sadhana and realize that beyond the so-called final pastime of Srila Prabhupada, who dedicated his life to teaching us how to live, and toward the end focused on teaching us by pastime as well as precept how to die, but there's a further lesson that continues to develop in the hearts of all those who follow his instructions. That is, how to die to live. That spiritual life and spiritual relationships transcend death and continue to expand in the relationships of the realm of Viprolanda Seva, where death has no access and darkness cannot enter. Today is also the appearance day of Sri Nimbarkacharya, who was one of a group of brahmanas who came to Navadvipa Dham several hundred years before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there. And these brahmanas were devotees of Lord Shiva, who worshipped him with the bale leaf, also known as bilva, in Bale Pakur of Navadvipa, which Lord Nityananda explained is non-different from bilvavan of Braj. And worshipping Lord Shiva for a fortnight with the leaves of the bale tree which are dear to him, they were rewarded with his darshan as he blessed all his devotees. But he told one of that group, Nimbark, your gurus reside just outside this forest and are waiting for you. And he directed him to the four Kumaras. We saw, sitting in meditation on a raised platform, young, naked, and noble in character, wrapped in meditation and in excitement, he chanted, Hare Krishna! And they opened their eyes, and seeing the form of the perfect devotee before them, they went and embraced him one by one. And Sanat Kumar spoke. He said that seeing that this Kaliyuga would be most troublesome, the Supreme Lord empowered four men to preach. Madhva, Nimbar, Vishnu Swamitri, and Ramanuja are those four who are empowered by Rama, Shiva, Lakshmi, and the Kumaras. And they instructed him how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and meditate on Radha and Krishna with feelings of love and great affection. At the conclusion of which he was blessed by the darshan of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who, while he offered his prayers, transformed into one form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He fell down offering his prayers. I've never seen such a form of the Lord as this. And Lord Gauranga spoke to him, the Bhargacharya, and said that you can preach now. Radha and Krishna's pastimes, which are very dear to me. And in the future, you will be born in Kashmir, famed as the Keshava Kashmiri Devijaya Pandit, who in your triumphant march defeating all the professors of the most exalted university towns in India will approach Navadvip. Hearing your name, all the professors will flee except one junior professor named Nimai, who will be so intoxicated with learning that he will take great delight in defeating you. After which you will be empowered with the most confidential knowledge to continue preaching more fortified. And the Lord explained to Nimbarkacharya how he would accept in his mission and preaching two essential items from each of the four Padmacharyas. And from you, Nimbark, I will accept two essential items. The high esteem for the gopis' love and the necessity of taking shelter at the lotus feet. At which point the Lord is asleep. So tonight, what does Rasa Lila have to teach us? The stellar system offers a crude analogy of harmony and balance, because everything rotates around the pole star. Sun is as if in a dance, a cosmic dance, orbit the pole star. And planets orbit their respective sun. And moons orbit their respective planets. And the whole cosmic display dances as a crude reflection of the balance and harmony characteristic of the spiritual world Because everyone places Krishna in the center of all their talks and thoughts and relationships and concerns and service. So, a deep gratitude to all those who facilitated the Astrasakis in coming to the temple of Sri Shivaji Madanchandra tonight to observe the last day. Every ending contains within it the essence of a new beginning. So tonight, at the conclusion of our Karti Virat, which is meant to attract the favor of Srimati Radharani, if we think we've succeeded, then we've missed the point. But if we feel genuinely within our hearts, very lowly, unworthy, and unqualified, but still with yearning like a dwarf desiring to capture the moon, we continue with the hope that maybe not in this lifetime, maybe not in 100, but surely within 1,000 lifetimes, then we might say that our Kartik Vrata has been somewhat successful. So with this aspiration, we should not conclude, but rather internalize our realizations and vows of Kartik. And practice how to enter in to the rasas of the spiritual world. It begins right here and right now. Gopi Bhartha Padakamalaya Das Das Amadas means the Lord has arranged for us to be in the perfect association to develop a humble service attitude, which we can cultivate. Until we actually come to realize what it means to be maidservant, the maidservant, Srimati Radharani, who alone really knows how to serve and please Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
So, thank you very much, Maharaj, for inviting all of us. And now, since today is also the birthday of the Guru's Prashasam Maharaj, we'd like to call all the devotees to come forward and offer their appreciation to Maharaj. So, we'll begin with the Guru's Maharaj Prabhu.
The Holy Bhakti Sri Vijaya is explained that who are attentive, affectionate, and the same temperament. And in this way, one can also reflect the good qualities of Vaishnava. So here in Vrindavan, we're very fortunate to have such a personality with us. And I would like to thank Maharaj for extending himself to the devotees. And at the same time, encourage him to spend more time at the temple so more devotees can take their association. And perhaps we too could reflect some of the wonderful qualities that are coming in the good self. And this reflection is coming by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by his attention to Srila Prabhupada's instructions and orders. So thank you very much, Maharaj. Thank you, Shri.
Thank you.
When Ellen Ginsberg met Srila Prabhupada, they had many discussions. Ellen Ginsberg was a famous poet and he was quite a character. And they had many talks. And Ellen Ginsberg came forward spontaneously to offer service. He brought harmonium to Prabhupada. He gave donation to Prabhupada's integration. Extended himself to devotees by chanting Hare Krishna in public. And after being with Prabhupada for some time, he concluded his analysis of Prabhupada's character with one word: sweetness. And as he said, he explained that his sweetness, it wasn't just like a sentimental sweetness of being, you know, sweet to everybody. It probably had a sweetness that was born from determination. So I was reflecting that this is one of the very lovable qualities that I find in my friend Rishana Swami, that somehow or other, through thick and thin, up and down, back and forth, Maharaj is determined to serve Srila Prabhupada in this unique and sometimes challenging setting called Vrindavan. Some of you might know. So that is a wonderful quality that he possesses that attracts me to him, and not just attracts me to him, binds me to him in friendship and solidarity, as they say. I desire that. It's explained in the Shastras that if you surrender to or you serve a devotee, then you are blessed with their qualities. If you try to compete with them, then the opposite thing happens. But if you serve, humbly serve them and appreciate, then you're blessed with the quality. So, I mean, so. Day of Krishna Maharaj's appearance. sweetness born out of tribulation. His Holiness Vaishnava Swami Maharaj Aki, Srila Prabhupada Aki, Shishi Radha Govindji Aki. And we can see actually the sweetness has manifested itself in his incredible deity worship. Unprecedented sweetness there in the deity worship that we're seeing there tonight. Thank you.
Gopi?
Holy places are not just the rocks and the buildings, and it says that the holy places are the great souls that reside there. And we see that New Vrindavan has so many buildings and so much work to be done and so many material problems and whatever. But the spirit of New Vrindavan, the soul of New Vrindavan, the life of New Vrindavan, is brought forth by great personalities that can actually see the Holy Dhamma and feel the presence of the deities and the spiritual atmosphere that's actually in a place. And I must say that Vaishnava Maharaj is very kindly and very generously always been able to unfold the manifested pastimes that are appearing here in Vrindavan. And with great poetic and colorful talk, able to impart all of that mercy and bliss to those of us that are fortunate enough to have the opportunity to listen. So I'd like to thank him for many years of kind service and wonderful kind association. And his, I don't want to say unparalleled because that's maybe too far, but his humility. Thank you, Maharaj, for your association.
Want to come down?
So, thank you, Vaishnava Maharaj, for tolerating me. You're always so kind. One of the things that I find so amazing is no matter what you're doing, even if you're on a big, you know, dozer or a heavy piece of equipment, if I come by, he stops what he's doing, gets off, and will talk to me. And I just find he's so compassionate and kind and caring. And no matter what, you never judge. And you always very wise advice and give Krishna conscious direction. I'm just so grateful for your association. Thank you. And also, I'm just very happy that Varshana told me that he's going to start manifesting the Sakha Kunjas around Shamakun. And so I'm very happy that he's doing that.
Would you like to say the words from the people? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj. I don't have much to say, so I'm very new here. I've only been here for 5 months. So I don't really know anybody here that well. Since I came here, I've heard Maharaj spoke several times. And every time I hear him speak, I feel very inspired inside. I feel Krishna is very real, and I feel very inspired. I feel like I want to be more serious with my sadhana, and I feel very fortunate that Maharaj is here as a Western sannyasi here, and I certainly hope to be able to take advantage more of his association in the future. That's all. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Sudhir Madhu?
Hare Krishna, this is my humble business, of course, to Shri Prabhupada. Thank you for engaging us in service to Shri Prabhupada's mission of service to the Holy Dham and New Vrindavan. Redeemed our love for the natural world by reminding us to always place Krishna in the center. We appreciate the reflections of Radha Kund and the solidarity of Govardhan Hill. Your service to Srila Prabhupada's legacy in New Vrindavan is ever expanding and unparalleled. By engaging others in enacting Srila Prabhupada's vision of service, we share the overflowing mercy that is the nature of the Holy Dhamma. Your direction and example are seeds which grow in our hearts, inspiring us to be more surrendered and devoted. We beg to remain in the shelter of your service always, your aspiring servant.
Vivo, vivo.
In Radheshi, there are two devotees who had been in New Vrindavan previously, and as soon as they heard that they would move here, they always praised the Vashan Maharaj so strongly towards me. So I was very eager to meet him, and I could see his wonderful qualities in so many aspects. And I would like to mention three things I especially appreciate. First of all, his real dedication to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. I can see that your whole meditation is constantly how to realize Srila Prabhupada's instructions for Vrindavan, on for the agriculture, self-sufficiency, but also revealing the Dharma, the seven temples on the seven gates. And I think we are also grateful to see that you're strongly keeping up Srila Prabhupada's instructions here. The second thing I think is so wonderful that you're trying to invite the Vrindavan mood in your Vrindavan. You're focusing on relationships. And whatever there is a chance to remind us what is the essence of Vrindavan, you're mentioning relationships. And you're following your first instruction to Prabhupada, but on the other hand, giving us the instructions to be focused on our relationships to each other and to create this holy Dharma. And they always like when you say that book distribution in your Vrindavan means working on the relationships. And last but not least, I'm very thankful that you're sharing your realizations with us. You have just another wonderful chance to hear your realizations, and we are eager to hear them many more times. So we are always happy to have you here, and please come more. At the end, I would like to personally thank you for your personal advice, for your prayers, for your support, and all your well wishes for my service here. And I'm happy to be able to be near you and hope to serve you for some more time. Thank you very much. This all is for Prabhupada Maharaj. Jai!
Self-sufficiency when
You are a present, kind, and loving spiritual father, even as the fathers of this world fade. Jame Jame Pitase. Thank you for the storehouse of memories that continue to sustain us. Like the long evening shadows that stretch far into the pasture, the shade of your mercy is far reaching, keeping us close, though we may be far away. Thank you to you, the vocal servant.
Without you, I don't think, I'm not sure that we'll be able to survive. I think we've
because whatever you, whatever good problems you've got have rubbed off on a lot of devotees here. So that will help to keep the, keep holding Govardhan, New Vrindavan up, even if you were not physically present. But thank you very much for staying among us, even though some of us are really very rotten fallen like me. Please continue with the program. Please accept my obeisances.
The only people.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances at your feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you. Since we moved to New Vrindavan, I've been learning that living in a dham offers many blessings as well as many challenges and a lot of purification. As you said, braj means challenges. Demons attack here every day, and that helps us to stay in the mood of dependence on Krishna. Dham's Kadinishakti, she's alive, she's full of spiritual desires, and she can fulfill our spiritual desires and aspirations. It does take the exalted personality, very elevated consciousness, and pure heart to really see a Dham. So we are so fortunate having you here. Being such a rare and genuine Sadhguru, you give us an opportunity to learn from you how to enter the Dham, develop a relationship with her and serve her. Sadhgurus are the real ornaments of this world. Today on this auspicious day, I want to take the opportunity to thank you for some of the so many wonderful things I've been learning from you. Before I do that, I want to thank you for your precious association. I pray not to ever take it for granted. Thank you for patiently and lovingly teaching me that real satisfaction comes from service and true sweetness comes from a loving, harmonious relationships. Thank you for guiding me how to take this short, about 15 inches, but not easy journey from my head to my heart, so I can access my heart and use the gifts Krishna placed there in His service. Thank you for showing me how to focus on seeing blessings in my life, how to cultivate the mood of gratitude which, as you say, softens the heart so the delicate creeper of the Bhakti Lata Beach can take the roots there. Thank you for showing me how to see the obstacles as opportunities to grow and to learn in my devotional life. How to say thank you for whatever Krishna sends, even if it's bitter, difficult, or it causes frustration. For showing me that it is possible to be joyful in misery and happy in desperation. Thank you for the beautiful motto you gave to Mother Kamalavati. Life is full of purpose, meaning, and mercy. Thank you for showing me by your own example how to be truly humble, tolerant, and kind. For illuminating my life with your deep wisdom and realizations. I pray so your words and vine enter into the core of my heart and fructify into a service pleasing to you, the Vaishnavas and Radha Gopinas. Please kindly forgive my offenses, aspiring to be fully in your service. Mahi.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, these were 100% spiritually advanced, materially they are zero. And in my entire devotional life, I saw Maharaj being 8 years resident here in New Vrindavan. I saw Maharaj being American. I never even saw in India also such a simple Vaishnava like Maharaj. So this is my understanding. My realization about Maharaj. Materially Maharaj is so poor, but especially Maharaj is a religious person. We are very fortunate to have Maharaj here. Simply by discussing, simply by seeing Maharaj, we are very benefited. In so many cases we saw being a new friend devotee. What I was thinking, do I know any devotee who is having a really 26 quality? And Maharaj is wonderful example for that. We can't find any fault in Maharaj. Maharaj is so magnanimous. So this is our great fortune to have Maharaj with us. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Mother Jayadevi.
Dearest Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances on Lord Srila Prabhupada. I am very sure that I will not be able to express my feelings in words because they go very deep and words will fall short. I'd like to begin with expressing my deepest gratitude to you for taking such wonderful care of us all these years. In fact, physically being away now from the Holy Dham, one of the things that me and my family miss the most is your regular association, every Tuesday lunch association, which is something which is one of the things that was coming to our minds again and again when we were thinking to go from here. And we continue to actually miss that. The amazing thing is that all these years we've been here in Vrindavan, and in spite of the so many challenges that come, you have been very strongly connected and keeping the goal and purpose of Vrindavan. In fact, it's unbelievable how you are practicing simple living and high thinking. In fact, sometimes even we might feel that it is impractical from our modern minds. But actually, your goal is to live what you're preaching. In fact, I remember a few years back when you had this this new car that you had, actually not new, relatively new SUV that you had, and we were discussing once that Maharaj, you can take this vehicle and you can go for your teaching programs, and somehow or other your heart was not permitting you to do that, and you were trying to fix this old vehicle which was running in the old-fashioned, mechanics. And you're thinking that because I'm representing, I'm talking about simple living, I'm thinking, how can I use these new vehicles? And these are computer-operated, I don't even understand how they function. So it was very amazing, actually, for days together, I could not understand. But that's where your heart is. Another amazing thing that I have never seen in my limited experience is the humility that you exhibit. Oftentimes we see that advanced devotees, when they deal with beginners, they deal with some discrimination, which is probably it. However, in your case, you exhibit the same behavior, same demeanor, whether it's a devotee, non-devotee, no matter who the person is. And this is actually even thrilling to many devotees. In fact, one devotee from Penn State, he was sharing with me, saying that Maharaj is so humble, we don't even know how to actually serve him.
So that's something that is very difficult for us to understand, but it gives us a hope that what is genuine humility, that's something we can learn from it. Also, I was very amazed and inspired by your example of how not to find faults. I remember this one devotee, he was accusing you of something, and you spoke, you were discussing, sharing some things with me, but not even once you undermined that devotee, you spoke anything negative about that devotee. And I was thinking, this is the kind of quality that is required for one to be able to live in the holy dham. And you're actually creating dham, you're showing us dham, you're preparing Vrindavan to be a place where actually Krishna's pastimes can be seen. In fact, Krishna's pastimes, as Mother Jayashree was saying, already manifesting here. But it is through your eyes that we are able to see them. And just as Raghunath Das Goswami, he recited at Govardhan Radha Kund. Similarly, Maharaj, you have created Radha Kund here, and you are the Raghunath Das Goswami of Vrindavan, who is actually present here to reveal and share these pastimes, give us the vision, give us the mission. And one of the things that I very fondly remember, Maharaj, is the once in a while evening programs with you in the apartments. And I would regularly share with you that, Maharaj, these are the programs that are giving us life, that are nourishing us. Just as you go so deep when you talk about Krishna, similarly, Maharaj, you have, through your kindness, love, sweetness, you have entered very deep in our hearts and nourishing us. Maharaj, this is our only hope. Please forgive all of our offenses which you have committed at your lotus feet in attempting to serve you. And please give us your mercy. Thank you, Maharaj. His Holiness Prasanna Swami Maharaj ki.
We have good fortune of having your association for so many years, and your humility really attracts us. One time while we were driving back to Vrindavan, and we wanted to meet you. It was night time, and we came around the place in the Radha Kund where we were staying, and it was pitch dark. And as the car arrived nearby the cottage, I was telling Shamsuna Prabhu, he came to search you, but somehow the other we thought of coming back. We had something to talk to you. And I thought, and I told Shamsuna Prabhu, that Maharaj lives here. And it was those days when I think you had no bathroom facility also. And he said, Maharaj lives here in dark, my material conception. And Shamsuna Prabhu said, yes, he's fearless. He really wants to search the Prabhupada and live in this holy dham. And I would like to confess this, that I have, through you, I have known the appreciation of a holy town. You really have so much love for New Vrindavan. Many of us devotees may really think about New Vrindavan problems and really take into our mind, hearts, and walk with it. But how you appreciate the dham and how you translate to us in your realizations is really entering our hearts and appreciating New Vrindavan. So Maharaj, I would like to really thank you for giving us this vision for New Vrindavan as a holy dham and non-different there. Thank you.
I met this month, Maharaj, a few years ago in Gurupur. And at that point of time, I was looking for a real direction on Varnashram. And Maharaj told me four important things that make a self-sufficient society: economy, education, media, and health. And ever since Maharaj explained me those facts, whomever I met, and whoever was trying to be a devotee, I explained that Krishna is self-sufficient, and very soon ISKCON will also become self-sufficient with these four aspects. And Maharaj also told me that it will take three generations for this reality to manifest, where ISKCON will develop the nation and will become a self-sufficient place. This whole world will be ruled by the Hare Krishna. So, keeping this in heart, gave me the real vision to think about what to do with my spiritual life, how to go about it. And thank you.